Today we're going to talk about the halacha of whether a woman should, is allowed to, or is not allowed to wear tefillin or not. So it is a little bit funny to give a halacha shir, a 10-minute halacha shir on this topic, mostly because most of the 10-minute halacha shirim and halacha shirim in general relate to things that have been debated over and are still being debated in the Batei Medrash, that there is some issue about whether the practice should be done, not be done, that we don't find the practice of any observant Orthodox Jewish woman to be wearing tefillin. The last time we have it recorded is in the times of the Nevi'im. We haven't really had anyone of any note since the times of the Nevi'im that have worn tefillin. That's an observant Orthodox woman. So of all the debate in the Gemara and the Rishonim, mitzvei shazman grama, not a mitzvei shazman, or women chayv mitzvei shazman grama, no one actually wore tefillin since Michal Bas Shaul. So we don't. It's an odd thing to give a halacha shiran when there's something that's so obvious that has never really been debated in practice. Where as much as there may be what to talk about in theory, there's been no debate in practice. But apparently people want to hear about this topic, so we'll talk about what the halachic background to this topic is. Now, Rav Lichtenstein, in an article that he, in really a critique of a book that was written by Rabbi Aaron Feldman, the Rosh Yeshiva of Ner Yisrael, this book, The Eye of the Storm, Rav Lichtenstein wrote a review of this book, and in the review, he writes that one has to beware of passion infringing on precision. When people talk about these topics, they get very worked up, and they like to yell, they want to scream about it, and they get very passionate, and they make very sweeping comments. It's never been discussed in all of rabbinic literature that it's upbeat courses. They scream and they yell and they say things like that. So he says we have to be careful when we express ourselves. Passion is okay, but it can't get in the way of precision. We have to be exact and we have to present things in the way that is most accurate and most correct. Now, granted, he wrote that before any modern Orthodox schools took an official stance that allowed someone in practice to actually wear tefillin. But I would have to believe that knowing a little bit about Rav Lichtenstein, that he would still insist on precision in the way that we present the sugya. So let's just present the sugya as clearly as I possibly know how. There is a Gemara, a Mishnah Maseches Brachos, Daf Chaf Amud Aleph. Women are patur from tefillin, and the Gemara explains very pashut. The Gemara actually asks pshita. It's obvious because it's mitzvah shazman grama. Of course, women are patur from tefillin. Now, generally speaking, when it comes to mitzvah shazman grama, women are permitted to volunteer mitzvah shazman grama. That's why many women are nota lulav on sukkis. Many women are yoshev besukkah on sukkis. And there's a well-known machlokas mechaber Rambam, machlokas between the svarim and Ashkenazim, machlokas Rambam and Rabbeinu Tam, whether a woman who volunteers to do a mitzvah shazman grama is allowed to say a bracha on a mitzvah shazman grama. We Ashkenazim hold that women are permitted to say a bracha on mitzvah shazman grama, and Sfaradim hold that women are not permitted to say a bracha on mitzvah shazman grama, but everyone agrees that they're allowed to perform mitzvah sasei shazman grama. So really the question becomes, why is it that throughout all of history women never chose to volunteer the mitzvah of tefillin? They chose to volunteer the mitzvah of lulav, they chose to volunteer the mitzvah of sukkah. Why did they never choose to volunteer the mitzvah of tefillin, or is there a problem with them choosing to volunteer the mitzvah of tefillin? As I mentioned before, we also have the Gemara Neir Daf Tzadi Vav Amud Aleph tells us that Michal Bas Shaul wore tefillin, and according to our version of the Gemara, our text, Lo Michu B'Chachamim, the Chachamim didn't object to Michal Bas Shaul wearing tefillin. Now the fact that the Gemara singles out Michal Bas Shaul does make it pretty clear that this was not a common practice. This was something that was done by one woman in the times of the Nevi'im, but she did do it, she did wear tefillin, and according to, again, one version, according to our version of the text in the Bavli, Lo Michu B'Chachamim, the Chacham did not object to her wearing tefillin. So then the question becomes, so what are the objections? Why is it that women do not wear tefillin? Why is it that that's been the practice for centuries? So there are several objections to women wearing tefillin. The most notable one, the one that certainly is discussed at most at length by Rishonim and Achronim, is what Tosfos points out on the spot in Erevin Daf Tzadi Vav Amud Aleph from Dibra Maschul Michal Bas Kushi. He says that they don't wear because it's difficult for a woman to keep a guf naki, and one of the requirements of wearing tefillin is to keep a guf naki. Now, guf naki means that one is in control of their bodily functions, and it also likely means that one keeps a clear mind, a clean mind during the wearing of tefillin. The Gemara in Shabbos Daf Mem Tes says that tefillin tzrichin guf naki ke'elisha bal kanafayim. person wants to wear tefillin, they need to have a guf naki like Elisha Bal Kanafayim. A remarkable story the Gemara tells about Elisha Bal Kanafayim. Now is not the time for that. The Yerushalmi even says that kol she'eno k'Elisha Bal Kanafayim al yaniach tefillin. Anyone who's not like Elisha Bal Kanafayim cannot keep such a guf naki, should not wear tefillin. So the Beis Yosef in Siman Lamed Ches quotes a kolba in Siman Chaf Aleph that we don't allow them to wear tefillin, we don't allow women to wear tefillin because einon yodos lishmar atzman b'nikius. They're unable to keep a guf naki. Now, why is it that there's an assumption made by the Beis Yosef that women are less capable of keeping a guf naki than men are? I'm not sure. It's not something I understand. I do object to those who say, well, obviously, whatever the Beis Yosef says over here is ridiculous. It's hysterical. I've heard that, with that word being used, hilarious, actually, that he says that women can't keep a that women are worse at keeping a guf naki than men. That's just hilarious. It's not hilarious. It means we don't understand what he's talking about. I don't know what he means. That he may mean something that would not apply anymore nowadays, or he may mean something that still would apply nowadays. I have no idea. I just don't know what he means. I have a kasha. I don't know what he means, that women have a harder time keeping a guf naki than men do. I'm not sure. Magen Avraham in Siman Lamed Chesiv Gimel explains that when you couple that fact with the fact that even men limit how long we wear tefillin for, so that's really what does it. The Raman, Siman Lamed Chesiv Gimel, says that women shouldn't be permitted to wear tefillin because they can't keep a guf naki. So that's why the Aruch HaShulchan explains it. The Aruch HaShulchan seems to understand this Magen Avraham, and the Rama, the Aruch HaShulchan, Siman Lamed Chesiv Vav, is that he explains that men have a chiyuv to wear tefillin. We really have a chiyuv to wear tefillin all day long. Elamai, we only wear it for a little bit of time because we also have trouble with a guf naki. So we limit the amount of time that we wear tefillin. But we can't just not wear tefillin at all because we have a chiyuv to wear tefillin. Really, you know, the concern for a guf naki should make us not want to wear tefillin at all. But we have a chiyuv to wear tefillin, so we have to wear tefillin. So we limit the amount of time we wear it just for shachris. We wear it just for davening. We once gave a whole shiur about wearing tefillin at mincha, about wearing tefillin all day long. Rav Shechter, okay, so that was a different topic. But the basic idea is that we limit it as much as possible. Says the Aruch HaShulchan. So if you're not mechuyev to wear tefillin, why would you want to take the risk of violating guf naki if one isn't mechuyev to begin with? Men have to take the risk because we're mechuyev. But if one is not mechuyev, they shouldn't take the risk. That's how the Aruch HaShulchan understands the Shitas Harama. Now, what about Michal Bas Shaul? So the Aruch HaShulchan writes, Michal Bas Shaul was permitted, the mistama yadu shi tzadekas gemura v'yadali hizahir. They must have known that she was a tzadekas gemura, and she knew how to be careful about guf naki. So she was very special in that regard, for whatever reason, and that's why an exception was made for her. The Beis Yosef in Siman Lamed Ches says that Michal Bas Shaul is not a kasha, because he says that we hold like the gears of the Psikta, which is quoted in Tosin Erevin, that Michal b'Chachamim, not that the Chacham didn't object, that Michal b'Shol was wrong about this, and the Chacham were yelling and screaming back then also. They objected to her wearing tefillin also. So that's one approach. There is a Sefer Tehila LeDavid in the same Siman in Shulchan Aruch, Sivkat Nalev, where he suggests that the Ramah's hesitation was maybe only for those who wear tefillin all day. But if you could limit the amount of time that a woman wears tefillin, so when you're talking about a very small amount of time, you don't have to be so worried about a guf naki, because a person could be on guard, man or woman, could be on guard for a short amount of time. Tehila Davin actually leaves it as a tzarachi, and he says, you know, the halacha is, you're not allowed to say Kriya Shema or Davin without a guf naki anyway. So you need a guf naki for Kriya Shema and for tefillah. So says Tehila Davin, a woman's allowed to say Kriya Shema, she's allowed to daven, so why can't she wear tefillin while she needs a guf naki for that period of time anyway? So let her put on tefillin for Kriya Shema for tefillah. It should be noted, Rav Feldman points out in the Eye of the Storm, that the Tehila Davin leaves it as a tarachim. He doesn't say, and therefore women should wear tefillin. No one ever said practically that women should wear tefillin. He just leaves it as a tzarachiyun. Why that issur would still be in place? Rabbi Feldman suggests that maybe the difference is as follows. That when it comes to the requirement of guf naki for kriyashma and for tefillah, you need a guf naki. But if you say kriyashma and yadavin without a guf naki, it's not mechalal the tefillah. It's not mechalal the kriyashma. But by the tefillin, it's mechalal the tefillin. It's a desecration of the tefillin to wear tefillin without a guf naki. So we may say that for a short amount of time we'll rely on her ability to keep a guf naki when there's a lesser risk of not keeping it, when the risk isn't so great because there's no great iser in Kriya Shema and Tefillah, but it's a much greater iser when it comes to the Kedusha of Tefillin. A second potential objection to women wearing tefillin, that was the major objection. Then there are several others. The second potential objection, the Shilta Giborim in Rosh Hashanah Daf Tesam Beis Bedape Arif, in Os Gimel, says that it's unclear exactly what he means, but he just writes that it's Derech HaChitzonim for women to wear tefillin. Karen Orin, in Erev and Daf Tzad Yavav, says he's not sure what that means, that it's where he gets that from, that it's Derech HaChitzonim. It's possible, at least in Gilyoni Ashas and Ervin Sadivavi also has a similar comment. It might mean, certainly in contemporary times, we could understand what that would mean, that it would mean that it's a practice of conservative Jews. It's not a practice of Orthodox Jews. That's one of the hallmarks of a conservative minion, is that women wear tefillin just like the men wear tefillin. That's egalitarianism. So that, for us, we could certainly say that it's I don't know if that's what the Shulchan Gevurah meant, probably not, but for us, we certainly would understand what Derech HaChitzon would mean, that we don't do things, we don't run our religious practices based on what conservative Judaism does. Rav Moshe has a famous tshuva where he discusses feminism in general, that a lot of the when the push to do certain mitzvahs is rooted in feminism, he holds that it sort of apostles the entire enterprise, because it's not a push to serve the Ribbono Shel Olam, it's a push for egalitarianism, which is not a Jewish concept. It's a very nice Western concept, but it really doesn't fit very well with Judaism. Then you have a third potential problem. The Targum Yonas and Ben Uziel on the pasuk in Chumash, Lo Yeh Kli Gever Alisha. Targum Yonas and Ben Uziel translates, Lo Yeh Gluyin De Tzitzis Utfilin De Inun Tikune Gever Al Itza. That you shouldn't have those things that are men's clothing, like tzitzis and tefillin, on a woman. So Yudavka identifies tzitzis and tefillin. Now Rav Meishin Nechuvin or Chaim Chil Dal Sivim Memtas says that tzitzis you could adjust. Tzitzis, you could make them into a feminine beged. If you have a beged of dalit kanfus that's pink and looks more feminine, so then a woman could, it wouldn't be a violation of kli gever for a woman to wear tzitzis. Tefillin have to be black. You have a very little leeway in tefillin. So if tefillin is going to be kli gever, so that's going to be a problem. There's not much you could do. Fourth possible objection: Kavachayim Sivkot Nches and Sim Lamed Ches says that al pi kabbalah it's very bad. He said Michal al pi kabbalah was a male neshama, and that's why she was Nakara. She couldn't have children, whatever this means. I don't know what any of this means, but he says Kabbalistically it's very bad. A woman should not, it's a very non-feminine thing, a woman shouldn't do it. Okay, I'm not sure what that means. The fifth possible explanation is that a possible problem, Rabbi Feldman quotes from a feminist who wrote an article about this, I forgot the name already of the woman, that married women have to cover their hair. Whereas the feminist said, some married women have the practice to cover their hair. So if some married women have the practice to cover their hair, it's going to be difficult for those same married women to put on tefillin without a chatzitza. Because how would you practically wear them in public? You can't put them over the shetel or the hat, because then it's going to be a chatzitza. So the truth is, chatzitza by tefillin shel rosh is somewhat of a complicated issue. It's an issue with men who wear toupees. It is a fairly complicated issue. One possibility is that they could wear tefillin at home, where no one sees them. Maybe if they hold the Rav Moshe's tefach, or Moshe's two fingers across the span of the head in the front, they could expose that and wear tefillin there. It's not, they come up with some solution for that if that was the only problem. A sixth potential problem is with having a woman wear tefillin in an otherwise normal Orthodox minyan is a violation of Los Hiskodudu. Any obvious practice that is being done against the practice of the general population amongst whom you are davening is a violation of Los Hiskodudu. We know that even if you were trained to daven Nusach Svard and you're davening in a Nusach Ashkenaz minyan, you're not allowed to say Kedusha with Nusach Svard. You have to keep the practices of the minyan that you're davening at. So to have a couple of people do against the practice of the rest of the minyan in any practice is l'chor a violation of Los Hiskodudu. My friend Rabbi Ephraim Goldberg from Boca Raton Synagogue, his point was he thought that this is a violation of Yuhara. For a person to take on a practice that's so obviously different, to say that this is how I find religious expression, and therefore I'm at a level where I could be doing this, I'm Michal Bas Shaul, that he thought that was a violation of Yuhara. We need to carefully analyze the sugya of Yuhara to figure out exactly what the gedarim of Yuhara are. So a couple of common questions that people have been asking, you see in the media reports, some people have been saying, well, if it's halachically permissible, so what's the big deal? Whereas one of the quotes was, It's obviously halachically okay. So if it's halachically okay, why not? You know, why not allow women to do it? So obviously that's a very inaccurate statement. Just like we can't make sweeping statements in one direction, we can't make them in the other direction either. It's not obviously halachically okay. The Rama didn't think it was halachically okay. The Rama says, well, we have to object if a woman wants to wear tefillin. So it's a non-starter to say it's halachically permissible. Also, another important thing to realize is that when it comes to changing tradition, when it comes to centuries, millennia of Jewish practice, if someone is going to try to do something that will change millennia of Jewish practice, you need at least very broad shoulders to rely on. You need to be gedolei hadoros, as Rav Shachter quotes from Rav Kook, gedolei hadoros, not just a gadol hador, someone who's a gadol of all generations. You know, someone like the Rama, someone like the Rambam, someone who's going to be an impactful gadol for all generations to recognize. Now, a lot of people have asked, well, what? It's just like women learning Gemara. It's just like I've heard this on both the right and the left. People on the left saying it's just like women learning Gemara. Everyone holds that women are allowed to learn Gemara nowadays, so or at least in the modern Orthodox world, so this is the same. And on the right, you see what happens when women learn Gemara? You see now it's going to... So you hear it on both sides. It's not just like women learning Gemara for a couple of reasons. First of all, when it came to instituting women's Talmud study, Rav Soloveitchik was a gadol shebegadolim. And a lot of other gadolim disagreed, and that's fine. He's a gadol shebegadolim, the broadest of shoulders, and that means something. When it came to women being educated at all, the Chafetz Chaim had very broad shoulders for that. The Chafetz Chaim to allow the beginning of the Beis Yaakov, and never would have started without him. Without him, it would have been shut down. There wouldn't have been education for girls. So for the Chafetz Chaim, you need those kinds of shoulders to make something like that. Also, Rav Tursky points out in his Hesped for Rav Soloveitchik, I think not Rav Meir Tursky, his father, Rabbi Dr. Tversky, points out that the halacha is not that women are not allowed to learn Gemara. The halacha is, we all know that women are allowed to learn those halachas that are nogea to them. Why are women allowed to learn those halachas that are nogea to them? Because there is a requirement that a woman has to be an Orthodox Jew, to be an observant Jew. So, what changed? Why did it change in the Chafetz Chaim's time to be broader and Rav Soloveitchik thought it even broader? Nothing changed. The halacha was always the same. A woman has to learn whatever she needs to learn in order to maintain a sense of what it means to be a Shomer Torah Mitzvah, a sense of Yiddishkeit. That's what she needs to learn. Elamai, before women had any sort of education, so they were able to maintain a sense of Yiddishkeit by learning very, very little. Once women got a little more education secularly, so if Judaism didn't provide some sort of intellectual stimulation, didn't provide some sort of intellectual meaning, so it would be very hard to really find value in Judaism without education. It's the same halacha, it's just that given the reality on the ground, the halacha changed. That's why he said Rav Soloveitchik never engaged in any apologetics about this. He didn't say, oh, well, we're changing this. He didn't think it was a big deal. It was a simple application of the old halacha. This is not a simple application of any old halacha. Without getting political at all, if I didn't already, the Gedolei Yisrael across the board, you know, throughout the generations, including in our generation, from the Satmar Rebbe's, whichever one you hold of, you know, to Rav Lichtenstein, across the board, all would say explicitly, those who were asked about it, if you would have the courage to ask everybody about it. Certainly, Rav Lichtenstein was asked about it, and he clearly states that there's no room for such a practice. An important mussar that we should get from this is that we should realize that sometimes when we make what we think is a small decision or a local decision, we live in a global world now, and things that we think are small and are local and are not a big deal tend to blow up pretty quickly and can become a big deal. And when doing something that deals with Jewish tradition, especially centuries worth of Jewish tradition, we have to be very, very careful before issuing any sort of psak halacha, and it's always healthier to get broader shoulders either to rely on or to find out what they actually hold, which would be the best case, obviously, to speak to Gedolei Yisrael and get guidance before we do anything that could be criticized or that can be discussed.